This is Fresh Air. Two writers from the former Yugoslavia have just won Freedom to Write awards from PEN, the International Writers Organization. They've each opposed the rise of nationalism in the Balkans. They're both pacifists and oppose military intervention because they think it would only expand the war. Zoran Mutic is from Sarajevo. He's the son of a Muslim mother and a Serbian father. He's the former president of the Association of Literary Translators in Bosnia. He left Sarajevo just before the city came under siege. He now lives in exile in Slovenia, where he's editing a journal for refugees. Svetlana Slapshak is a Serbian dissident writer and former president of the Committee for Liberty of Expression. She, too, is living in exile in Slovenia, teaching at the University of Ljubljana. In fact, she helped bring Mutic to Slovenia by recommending him for a teaching position. She told me there's still a dissident movement in Belgrade, where she used to live.
There are independent periodicals and weeklies like Republika and Vreme, really very critical about the regime all the time, something like 3 years since they started. Then there is the independent radio, then there Studio B, then there's an independent TV station. There are many, many ways to express what you feel in Belgrade. In other words, you can tell whatever you want. And somehow, you know, Belgrade is isolated. It's a huge concentration intellectual camp in which you can say anything and it really doesn't work. So my friends that are still in Belgrade really feel desperate because they say that what they say to each other, it's an autotherapy. It's not action. And I must say that the embargo imposed on Serbia in last year was a catastrophe for the opposition.
Why did the sanctions hurt the dissident movement in Belgrade?
Because they couldn't reach the world, because they were closed. Most of them could not travel. Most of them could not dispatch their periodicals and their articles. It's a great struggle to be heard outside of Belgrade.
Were you sorry when further sanctions went into effect earlier this week?
No, frankly, no. Sanctions have this moral impact, which is really very important and which should be imposed. And I only wish that most of the people that I know get out. Being Serb, well, I admit I became Serb when this war started because I feel the need to express that I'm a different Serb, that there are different Serbs that don't go with this stupid war, and that feel a need to repent, to say that they feel guilty, and that they are Serbs that think about future, very simply.
That's very interesting. In the past, you were so kind of fed up with ethnic fighting and nationalism that you declared yourself an ethnic Martian. But when
right.
this war broke out, you wanted to be a Serb so that you could be
yes.
a Serbian dissident.
Yes.
And prove that there was a different kind of Serb.
Right.
Did you have a lot of friends, colleagues who felt the same way?
Yes. At least a few thousand people in Belgrade.
Are there intellectuals who you know who defend Milosevic?
Yes.
And what reasons do they have?
Power.
Whose power?
Power of being in the system. Well, the socialist system was instrumentalized in many different ways. And one of the ways was to collect as many people as they can, as many names as they can. So many writers went with the regime in order to obtain some privileges, in order to be the part of nomenklatura. Well, the same processes continued with the nationalist program. So many nationalist intellectuals that were not dissidents at all, but joined the general dissident feeling in the late 80s, understood that going with Milosevic would give them more power than anything else. So they followed him. And I'm afraid that there's a generation, deep generation, and if you want, deep gender gap, men, older men, poets and intellectuals were the most eager to follow Milosevic.
Is there a student movement? Student dissident movement?
Yes, there is a student dissident movement, but it doesn't work anymore because I think that most of the students who were active 1 year before now fled away because they don't see any future. Some of them are still in Belgrade wearing badges like it's non-translatable, and it's in rhymes, but I have a BA and I want to leave, and things like that, you know. They make queues before the embassies, they ask for visas, and they go anywhere. South Africa, Zambia, New Zealand, anywhere.
Do you still have family in Belgrade?
Yes, well, my mother is half in Belgrade, half in Ljubljana. Now she's in Ljubljana and I'm very happy about it because she's safer there. She's rather old. She lost her house in Croatia. We lost everything we ever had. Now it might happen that we lose the apartment in Belgrade too with all our possessions there. But
okay. She lost everything in Croatia during World War II?
No, in this war.
Oh.
30 years ago, she built a house on the Croatian coast. She was very happy there. She spent something like 6 months every year there. And last summer, they told her she should leave immediately. And she lost it. She had to leave. So it's, 50 years after, she lost again. But nowadays, you can't hear anything like national hate from her. She said, okay, crazy people like in every war. She still hopes to get it back.
Do you have other family in Belgrade?
No, just friends, very dear friends.
My guest is Serbian dissident writer Svetlana Slapshak. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Svetlana Slapshak and Zoran Mutic, two writers from the former Yugoslavia who just won Freedom to Write awards from PEN, the International Writers Organization. I want to get back to something you were saying before. You're saying that now you're calling yourself a Serb because you're a Serb dissident and you want to show that it's possible to be a Serb and be a dissident, to oppose the slaughter that's taking place now. As a Serb in Slovenia, are there a lot of suspicions about you? Is there any stereotyping of you, even though you're a dissident?
Yes, of course there are. Something must be explained also. If you say now that you are Yugoslav in former Yugoslavia, this is despised by all sides. Everybody feels awful about Yugoslavia. So there's no country, there's no use of calling yourself Yugoslav. There's a term invented by Croat press, which is a very depressing one, but I use it in an ironic sense, Yugo-zombie. Yes, I feel like Yugo-zombie. I don't want to forget good sides of the life which prevailed in former Yugoslavia, and I don't want to forget how awful the system was against what I fought. So I don't forget neither one or other. But when I declare myself Serb, that's a risk in Slovenia, that's true. And I've been attacked of being a primitive Balkan female, of being not knowing how to behave in somebody else's house, and so on and so on. I was named Homo erectus and not Homo sapiens, and so on and so on. But why? There's a very concrete reason why. I signed a petition a year ago, actually I ideated it, that the former Yugoslavs should be given all the citizenships in the new Yugoslav states, as many as they want. I mean, this would solve all the problems of possession in other republics, mixed marriages, love affairs, friendships, and so on and so on. And in the case that the international community cannot provide that, perhaps we could get European passports or something like that. And generally, it might sound very desperate, but I think that the only really positive and active thing that the international community can invest into Yugoslavia is to help people out of Yugoslavia, Yugoslav refugees, especially young ones, to educate. And perhaps to establish some intellectual institutions like universities for Balkan studies outside Yugoslavia to form the new multi-ethnic, multi-linguistic circle of young men who would be able to rethink the whole thing again.
Zoran Mutic, you were born in Sarajevo.
Yes.
What do you think the chances are you'll ever go home to Sarajevo?
I don't know if there is a possibility to get some other passport, or let's say a Slovenian passport. I could go tomorrow as a Slovenian citizen and not be molested if the war stopped tomorrow, let's say. But I will probably do something like that, at least to see the people I love, to be for a while with them, to take my books and other things that are dear to me, I don't know, some photographs, albums, things like this. But I really do not wish to go back. I know maybe it is not noble enough to say something like this for a town that has been destroyed when everybody should go back and help rebuild it. But I don't want to go back because the atmosphere has changed. Most of the good people have either fled or have again turned to this or that side. Most of my friends, and it is usually the people, it's not the buildings and the surroundings, mountains, however beautiful, it's usually the people that attract you to a place and keep you tied to a place. Some of them have changed, some of them, as I said, have fled from Sarajevo. So to go back and just see two or three or ten of them and to stay there for the rest of my life just because there are five or six of them, when I think I can help both Sarajevo and Bosnia by being outside and working for them, like with this refugee magazine that we are making now.
Tell me something about the refugee magazine.
Well, it's intended not only to connect the lost ties between, to make ties between, which were cut, between families, relatives, friends, but also to keep them informed on everything of concern, on their legal rights, on other issues like giving them medical, psychiatric advice, teaching them the language of the new environment, and also giving them an opportunity to express themselves creatively by writing and drawing, especially for the children and for the older ones, their literary sites, pages with novels, poems, etc. Their news, which are not immediately, which are not the news they get from the everyday press and from radio and TV, but which concern them more, let's say, on a wider basis, etc.
It sounds almost as if your equivalent of an ethnic identity now is your identity as an exile.
Yeah.
That the group that you really identify with is the exile and the refugee.
Yeah.
And the people in that community are of all the different ethnic backgrounds.
Yes, yes.
And it sounds, too, like you're afraid that the war has perhaps permanently destroyed the cosmopolitan pluralistic nature of Sarajevo.
That is definite. Unfortunately, but I'm certain of that. One of the things is that most of the, or let's say, from the facts we know, those who had the chance to flee have fled. And it's at least one-third of the population. On the other hand, this one-third of the population was replaced by a huge number of refugees from the surrounding villages. And, you know, to suddenly change 100,000 people with 200,000 newcomers with other customs and without the urban culture, let's say, by itself somehow implies the drastic change.
One last question. These ethnic hatreds in the Balkans keep rising to the surface again, then they die down for a while and they rise to the surface again. Have you ever wanted to leave the Balkans altogether, or do you feel a commitment to stay?
Yeah, well, I like to leave from time to time, but somehow I'm not only compelled to stay, I feel it as a challenge.
And Svetlana?
Well, one of my topics at the university, I teach Balkanology. I adore Balkans, including Greece. I don't want to leave Balkans forever, but I want to be around. And if I could choose, of course, I would like to live 6 months in Paris and 6 months on Balkans, any part of Balkans, especially Greece. That would be ideal, which is not possible. So, what I feel a need to say something about Zoran, if you let me. Zoran lives with us in the same apartment, which is not the biggest one, and he sleeps in the kitchen for 1 year now. On a folding bed. I mean, he lives like a dog and he works like a dog. We all do, in a way. And I think that his heroism is of a very special kind, you know. He never mentions the situation in which he is emotionally. He even doesn't have pictures of his people, you know, his folks. And this is a very desperate situation, but we're trying to make it worth by inventing something else. And one thing that we invented and that exists now are our students, Slovenian students, which are absolutely brilliant. And the house is full of students every time of the day, and it's a very happy atmosphere, I must say. Healthy, happy, and very poor. This is how we survive. That's our therapy, and I wouldn't go from Ljubljana only if the pressure is really important, and only if I'm deprived of all of my students, and only if all of my students turn back on us. So we need a real catastrophe to go from there.
Zoran, you have no pictures of your family because you weren't able to take them with you?
Yeah, because as I said, somehow I hope that I would return in a 2 or 3 months, 4 months, but I didn't have anything. All my books are still in Sarajevo.
Well, I wish you both good luck, and I thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Svetlana Slapshak and Zoran Mutic just received Freedom to Write awards from PEN, the International Writers' Organization. This is Fresh Air.